From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
I'm into the fuel business now, and the reason that I got into the fuel business, I've always had a passion for this particular business, like I mentioned before, earlier on, where, you know, I was started as a manager working for a company and ended up becoming a district manager. And it was just, it was a constant passion that I had. I loved to go to work. I used to get to work at 6 a.m. and leave at 6 p.m. I worked 6 days a week. And I didn't have to do that, but, you know, my passion gave me that. You know, I was always intrigued that, you know, if you own a gas station, you have to have gas in order for the inside of the store to be profitable. Now, hypothetically, if someone ran out of gas, they're gonna basically not be able to sell any kind of product on the inside. And when the gas guy made the delivery, I mean, it was, for some reason, it was just a joy to me just to see the guy pull up and, you know, drop all that gas in the ground. You know what I mean? So it was something that I was always interested in, you know. And I just knew the gas station business. Not that I'm in the gas station business, but I am in the petroleum business. But it's pretty much the same thing, you know. You buy gas and you sell it.
Moses Shepherd, founder and CEO of Ace Petroleum, Detroit-based national fuel supplier. In 1987, Shepherd began his career as a district manager at an area fuel distribution company. He had daily operational oversight of 8 of those stores, managing nearly 100 employees. While in this role, he turned the stores around, making all 8 profitable. Prior to launching his new company, Shepherd led his real estate company, Ace Investment Group, LLC, which he founded in 2003. The company exclusively purchased properties in the city of Detroit. Over the years, the company has bought hundreds of duplexes, single and multifamily homes, and apartment building units. Today, Ace Investment Group represents the largest African-American-owned apartment portfolio in the Motor City. Additionally, along with its management and company, Jackson Ace, they are the largest housing provider for local nonprofit agencies in the city, and it sits hundreds of families in a common mission to help eradicate homelessness. I'm Johnny O. Henson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Ace Petroleum with founder and CEO Moses Shepherd, In Black America.
At one point, when we had the housing crisis, people were running away from the city of Detroit, okay? I was running into the city of Detroit, so I created a vast portfolio. I mean, I knew and I understood exactly what was going on. So, you know, people would ask me all the time, you know, why do you keep investing your money in the city? Why do you keep investing your money in the city? Now, those same people call me today for advice and, you know, to try to see if they can basically come and invest in the city. You know, I always put out little notations, maybe on LinkedIn. Hey, you know, now is the time to invest in the city before it's too late. And downtown, it is too late, I'm telling you, because downtown is booming. I knew it would one day. My mother actually told me one day to start buying all of the buildings that I could downtown Detroit. I just thought that was the craziest thing, too. So, but today, I look at life and investing entirely different. Now, so when I buy a community, if I buy a building, I try to buy the building next door.
In 1987, Moses Shepherd began his career as a district manager at a Detroit area fuel distribution company, which owned 40 metropolitan Detroit convenience stores. He had daily operational oversight of 8 of those stores, managing nearly 100 employees. While in this role, he turned the stores around, making all 8 profitable. This experience fostered his interest in and passion for the fuel and oil business. With an entrepreneurial vision and a strong work ethic, Shepherd founded and nurtured several successful startups before launching Ace Investment Group in 2003. For more than 30 years, Shepherd has invested in Detroit. His business development insight and understanding of the Detroit market led him to found Ace Petroleum and built upon his petroleum wholesale experience. Ace Petroleum is a certified minority business enterprise through the Michigan and National Minority Supplier Development Council. Recently, In Black America spoke with Moses Shepherd.
Well, you know, I'm born and raised in the city of Detroit, product of Detroit Public Schools. And, you know, life was great in the city, you know, as I was growing up. I grew up on the west side of Detroit, on Taylor Street. right between 12th and 14th Avenue. That's just east of Claremont, which is a main drag.
I'm quite familiar because my aunt stays on West Philadelphia, so I know the area exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I used to walk past that way to go to school. Wow, small world.
Small world. We hear a lot about Detroit, and most of it is not good. But being in Detroit and growing up there, give us a realistic review and your analysis of how Detroit is in 2017.
Well, in order to, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, Detroit could have a bad stigma, but I think that today, with the direction of the city, the way it's going, I think it's going to be a great city again. You know, we have the downtown is booming down there, you know, with various construction. You got Dan Gilbert, which is the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers,
mm-hmm.
has probably purchased about 100 buildings in the downtown Detroit area. And he's been renovating the buildings and bringing a lot of his employees down to work in the buildings that he renovated. And then what happened, there was a lot of companies that are actually moving in the downtown Detroit area. So what it's doing is giving the downtown Detroit area a huge boost with new employees. It gives the city a better tax base,
mm-hmm.
Because of the employees that are coming in. And it helps the local businesses down in the city of Detroit, you know, get more business, where before it was rough because we didn't have enough people,
mm-hmm.
to really accommodate the businesses. So it was really difficult to open a business downtown Detroit.
I understand.
But that has all changed. You got a lot of apartment communities that are going up. And as a matter of fact, I think that there's a shortage of apartments and mm-hmm. housing because of the resurge in the city with all of the new employees, with the business moving down in the Detroit area.
What initially got you interested in becoming an entrepreneur?
You know, I tell you like this. When the kids were outside playing football,
mm-hmm.
I was building a lemonade stand to sell them lemonade.
I understand.
So it was, I think that me being an entrepreneur was always a goal of mine. And I used to work for a company that had quite a few gas stations, and one day I decided that I no longer wanted to work for anyone. You know, I had always wanted to be my own boss and run my own business. So I decided to put together a rack system for cassette tapes,
mm-hmm.
and I marketed this particular rack system to various gas stations throughout the city of Detroit, and I was able to quit my job. You know, I made pretty decent money when I was working for this particular company, but I saw the bigger picture and decided to, you know, give my 2-week notice. I did that and started that particular company, which was called the Music Company, and it just really took off for me. So I started supplying gas stations locally, and that in turn turned into a national. I was ended up being a national supplier to convenience stores and gas stations all across the country.
And what made you come up with that idea for the cassette rack?
You know, I'm going to tell you, I was at one of my stores one day, and I was behind the counter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my stores were in the inner city, so sometimes in the inner city you might have, not only inner city, but everywhere, you know, you have pilferage.
Right.
So I turned my back to, you know, grab a customer some cassette tapes,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm turning my back, you know, I was being pilfered. So now, if you can picture this, you know, when you walked into the gas station, you had the tapes were laying down on the side with numbers on them, okay?
Right.
So the inventory was behind the counter. So what I would do, if somebody, say, hypothetic, somebody asks for, you know, give me 3 cassette tapes, you know, with 3 different numbers. It might be number 1, 2, and number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to turn my back to the customer and find the cassette tapes, number 1, number 2, number 3. I got to find them. During that time, I was being pilfered. So I decided to make the company a display that would work for my stores, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I did it and I showed it to the guy, he decided he didn't want it. So this particular, the rack system that I designed for him, it was basically whatever the number was, you had the inventory right behind it. Okay,
gotcha.
So nobody has to turn their back.
Gotcha.
And I wanted that for my stores. He didn't want it for the stores. So quite naturally, I decided that, you know, I'm going to try this myself. I mentioned it to my mother at the time, and she was a very, very, very wise lady. And she said, you should try that. So I gave it a shot. It was a success. You know, she gave me other ideas that I didn't try today that I wish I had tried today.
When did you decide to go into the real estate business?
You know, my mother told me a long time ago during the time that I had this cassette tape business, she said, you should start buying real estate. And I said, well, I don't think so. You know, I don't want to, you know, fix up anybody's house and, you know, and let somebody move in and collect rent. I don't want to do that at all. So she said, okay. I mean, she said, well, that's how, you know, people become very wealthy in this country. And then, you know, I didn't see it, you know. So she also told me to start, you know, she had a company calling me about a cellular phone, okay. And I told her, I said, a cellular phone tower. I could have invested $7,500 into a cellular phone tower. And I just thought it was the craziest thing. I said, there'll never come a day when we're driving around talking on the telephone in a car. I mean, that's crazy. So look what happened. You know what I mean? I could invest $7,500 into a cellular phone tower, and I think the company that ended up selling that company is they sold it to AT&T. So my point is when she told me that I should invest in real estate, I didn't think so. So what I ended up doing after my stint with the music business, which ended up becoming defunct because of the digital downloads.
Right.
Okay. So I decided to go to the bookstore, read some books on real estate, and I did my first real estate transaction, made 50 grand in probably 60 days, and I just thought it was the world's greatest thing. I said, there's nothing in this world for me to do ever besides real estate. So I started buying houses, renovating the houses, selling them, exactly what my mother told me to do years and years ago, right?
Right.
So I started doing that, and then eventually I created a vast portfolio of houses in a couple strong zip codes, being one of the zip codes that I'm in right now with my office. The 48221 zip code was a very strong zip code. That's like 7 Mile and Livernois area, if you remember the city.
Right.
I owned so much property over there in that neighborhood that I was able to control what the rents were. And the 48219 zip code, which is closer to Rosedale Park where we are now.
So that's still the Avenue of Fashion off of 7 and Livernois?
Absolutely. The Avenue of Fashion is still there. And it's actually it's going pretty good. You know, you got a lot of successful entrepreneurs in that area still.
That's good.
Today. And growing. You know, it is growing. You got new businesses opening in that area all the time.
I understand that you purchase entire city blocks.
I do. I own one of my buildings is called Palmer Park Estates, and it's on 6 Mile.
Gotcha.
It is a city block, a whole city block, and I have got the it's probably the one of the biggest apartment communities in the area. It's 100% occupied. And it's a beautiful historical building, and I bought that building back in 2010.
I assume if you're refurbishing homes, you have to have a staff. Are these contract workers, or you have these individuals on staff full time?
When I had the homes, they were contract workers. As I buy the apartment communities, they are my employees that actually work for me. That does the renovations. So my staff has grown to that point now. You know, I used to have, when I bought my first house, I just thought it was the craziest thing. You know, I bought the house, I think, for $50,000. And my books told me to write the house up for $65,000 and pull $15,000 back at the closing. I did that. That was great. I gave the contractor $12,000 of the $15,000. He delivered me a finished house in about 30 days, and I sold the house for $123,000. And that's when I was working with contractors. Now, today, when I buy an apartment building, I don't buy anything that is vacant. I only buy if it's at least 50% occupied, and then I'll go in And if I have, you know, sometimes, you know, you got bad tenants, I may have to get rid of the bad tenants and put the people in there that want to have a beautiful home. So I'll eliminate the bad element, bring in the good tenants, do quite a few renovations on the units, meaning, you know, new carpet, you know, paint, plumbing, appliances, whatever need be to make the tenant comfortable. And those are, you know, I still use some contractors, mm-hmm. but a lot of them are my employees.
Is there any particular percentage between the purchasing of a particular property and what you put in that property for your return?
Well, no, not necessarily. You know, okay. I mean, a lot of people may look at real estate that way. I don't. I look mm-hmm. at real estate by location.
Okay.
The location, the size of the property, what I may have to make, have to put in it as far as an investment. And I look at the unit mix mm-hmm. and the unit count. The unit mix and the unit count will tell me exactly what my income would be. So, you know, we'll say if I bought 100 units, or building, a 100-unit building, you know, I know if I can rent it out at an average of $600 or $700, you know, that'll give me a gross income when it's done at about, you know, $70,000 a month. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at, you know, and you take that over a year's time, and it'll give me an indication of what that property could be worth once it's done. So if I bought a building, that type of building, and I had to put in it, we'll call it $200,000 for renovations, it makes sense all day long to do that because I'll make my money back from the renovations and from the renovations in the first year. As far as the acquisition price, depending on how much the acquisition price is, that'll give me an indication of when I'll make my money back.
I understand. Are some of these properties leased or rented to nonprofit agencies in the city?
Yes. I rent to quite a few nonprofit agencies that help eradicate homelessness, and that's
okay.
what we do. We partner up with the agencies to offer them, you know, quality homes for, you know, people that quite naturally can't afford a home. And so we partner up with quite a few agencies. We're probably the largest housing provider for the agencies in the city of Detroit.
I also understand that in the beginning that Detroit had a development fund that you were a participant in?
Yeah, it was called Detroit Development Fund.
Okay.
They're located in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I probably was one of their first clients.
Gotcha.
What they did, they allowed me to, we kind of partner up, you know, they allowed me, they made the acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me the acquisition dollars, and I actually put my own money into the renovation. And the reason that I did it that way, because I had a cap. Initially, I think the cap might have been $50,000 that you can borrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do, I would buy a home, do the renovations with my money, but I use their money for acquisition.
Gotcha.
And then once I sold the house, I would pay them back. So that my cap ended up going from $50,000 up to $500,000, and it was just all acquisition dollars. I used their money for only acquisition, and my money for rehab.
I understand. You also have a ServPro franchise.
I had a ServPro franchise. I had the only ServPro franchise that was located in the city of Detroit. I just recently closed it down because I had other interest. You know, ServPro is a fire and water restoration company, so
right.
if it's no floods and no fires, it's no business, pretty much. So, you know, it's been kind of dry around here, so I decided that to kind of cut my losses and shut it down and go into a different direction.
Since the beginning, are you using your money now or are you using the bank's money?
No, I use my money. I
okay.
use my money for acquisitions, and you know, from time to time, I have private dollars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Henson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Moses Shepherd, founder and CEO of Ace Petroleum and also Ace Investment Group LLC. I see you've gone into the fuel business. Why that particular entity?
Well, I'm into the fuel business now, and the reason that I got into the fuel business, I've always had a passion for this particular business, like I mentioned before, earlier on,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I was a Started as a manager working for a company and ended up becoming a district manager. And it was just, it was constant. It was a constant passion that I had. I loved to go to work. I used to get to work at 6 a.m. and leave at 6 p.m. I worked 6 days a week. And I didn't have to do that, but, you know, my passion gave me that. You know, I was always intrigued that, you know, if you own a gas station, you have to have gas in order for the inside of the store to be profitable. Now, hypothetic, if someone ran out of gas, they're gonna basically not be able to sell any kind of product on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And when the gas guy made the delivery, I mean, it was, for some reason, it was just a joy to me just to see the guy pull up and, you know, drop all that gas in the ground. You know what I mean? So it was something that I was always interested in, you know. And I just knew the gas station business. Not that I'm in the gas station business, mm-hmm. but I am in the petroleum business. But it's pretty much the same thing, you know. You buy gas and you sell it. You know, and it's a constant need, and I think it's going to be a need for years and years to come, regardless if they're making these electric cars and any other forms of transportation that may not need fuel.
I also understand you're a certified minority business enterprise fuel supplier. Tell us about returning that certification.
Well, the certification is for the it's a national certification,
mm-hmm.
and it's a certification that would basically allow me to do business with various companies that will get credits from doing business with a minority certified company. You got Ford, you got Delta, you got Chrysler, General Motors, a whole bunch of different Fortune 500 companies that get mm-hmm. credits from the federal government with doing business with certified minority-owned business.
I assume that you all have to have some trucks if you're going to be delivering fuel to different companies. Where did you obtain the trucks, and where do you purchase the oil from?
Well, see, here's the thing, okay?
Okay.
Not necessarily would I have to have a truck. I plan to eventually buy a couple trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I use a delivery agent. I use various delivery agents. My main delivery agent is called Atlas Oil Company.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably the largest distributor of fuel.
Gotcha.
In the United States of America. And the reason that I use them is because their infrastructure is already set, you know. I try to mimic my companies after the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I follow the big boys, that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, they're successful for a reason.
Yeah.
So I use Atlas because Atlas is actually in 46 states, which would give me a opportunity to sell in 46 states,
mm-hmm.
where quite naturally, you know, some of the other distributors are smaller, and they may just be, you know, Michigan or local, maybe Midwest.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, I can go as far as Texas if I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to deliver, you know, 50 million gallons tomorrow, I can do that because of the company that I use.
And how do you go about obtaining these contracts? I'm quite sure that you're in the process or have contracts on board, but the process of going and negotiating the deals for service?
Well, the way that you do that, you have to be able to have a strong marketing team.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know what you're doing. And, you know, we reach out to the right people and we set connections and see if we can move forward with the meeting and try to come up with a viable plan to give them the service and the product that they need in a timely fashion.
I'm quite sure this didn't happen overnight. So how long did it take for you all to put this particular company together?
This has been in the works since January 15th, 2016. So
okay.
Over a year.
And what were some of the things that you had to work out?
Well, I had to basically, you know, align myself up, you know, line myself up with my current business,
mm-hmm.
Meaning that bring the right people in because we self-manage all of our properties here.
Gotcha.
And so I had to make sure that that particular business was solid as a rock, bring the right people in to help manage all of the communities and the new acquisitions. And once I was able to get that under control, that's when it was time to move forward with Ace Petroleum.
And petroleum and diesel, are they they're different fuels, but are the markets similar?
Market is similar, yes, that is correct. A lot of the companies, they use diesel for their trucks, and you get a lot of companies that use petroleum for the cars.
And since you've opened Ace Petroleum, how's the response been from, I guess, some of my colleagues in the media?
The media is extremely good. I'm getting press from all across the country, I believe mainly because it's something new. You know, it is something new. You really don't have a whole lot of African-Americans that are in the fuel business, but we are going to, you know, do our best, give the best service possible that we can, and just try to make everybody happy that want to utilize our company.
You talked earlier in the conversation about the advice your mom gave you. What are some other advice that you've been given along the way?
To stay loyal, and whatever you do, if you have to have passion for whatever you do, no matter what that is. Without passion, to be quite honest, it's not going to work. I just had a young man in my office. He asked me for a meeting to sit down, and we had a conversation. He works for Chrysler, and he wants to leave his job. And, you know, I didn't tell him to leave his job. I told him that in order to leave his job, he should set himself up for that. You know, he makes pretty decent money, but he has another business. So I basically, you know, gave him my scenario, what happened to me. But at the time, I had the passion. So if he has the passion for what he does, it'll be successful. You have to step out on faith. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, anyone can run their own company if they have the passion to do it.
What are some of the sacrifices you've had to make to get you to where you are right now?
There have been 20-hour days. I've worked 20-hour days before, you know. When you're working like that, it takes you away from your family. You know, I have a wife, and I have four beautiful daughters. And, you know, I don't like to be away from them too long, but they understand, you know. And I'm actually grooming, I want to groom them eventually to help take over the business or run the business.
Moses Shepherd, founder and CEO of Ace Petroleum, a Detroit-based national fuel supplier. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.